disgusting.
I said, save it for the podcast.
Well, that is one way of looking at it.
Here we are at Indian Ladder Farms for yet another edition of Agricultural Acts. Thank you all for being tuned in wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. We hope that you can share the Agricultural Acts podcast with family, friends, even share it with enemies because it brings people together. It's solving the world's problems, I believe. We are here with our executive producer, Bart. We've got Dieter, Scott, and Alex from Indian Ladder Farms, and our friends Pam and Brett from Bound by Fate Brewing. Please welcome them to the podcast. Yeah. Whoop, 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 whoop. So we picked a perfect day to have you on Agricultural Acts because you're out here at Indian Ladder Farms today from Schuylerville, where your location is, to work on brewing some beer.
Yeah, we're super thrilled to be here today especially and use some of Indian Ladder's freshly harvested this morning hops in a new beer collaboration. It's going to be awesome.
So you began work on that today. Is the process done? Is it a one-day deal?
No, it hasn't started fermenting yet.
Okay.
But it's in the tank. We made sure it went in the tank.
All right, that's good.
We kept looking in vessels to make sure it was there.
Good place to have it. Let's get a history lesson from Pam and Brett on Bound by Fate Brewing. Relatively newer location over there in Schuylerville. How long have you been open?
Oh, well, it was all part of the original plan. We opened 6 weeks before the pandemic shutdowns in
Brilliant.
2020.
You wouldn't know, though. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we have we're a New York State Farm Brewery, and we're there in the village of Schuylerville, and it was a family affair. We fell in love with the town and found a great tap room, and we're brewing out of our barn. So it's nice to be down here at Indian Ladder, see how the professionals do it.
Whoa.
Oh, look at that.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
It's like you're crazy here.
I know you've been guests on Sunday Brunch with Joy at EQX, but I really enjoyed listening to that, so I want to make sure we get out the full history lesson behind Pam and Brett. You landed in Schuylerville, New York, which seems like a very unlikely place because you're rather metropolitan in your past.
Oh, yeah. We met in Brooklyn. It was fun. It was a nice time living in our basement apartment many, many years ago. So we met at Columbia, throughout friends and lived in the city. Then we went to California and always dreamed of opening a brewery, but never thought it would be possible because without $5 million, you can't open a brewery in California. So we had some kids and moved back and found this little village and decided this was the time.
Which happened to be the village I was born in, so it wasn't actually that random.
Okay.
It's a little random, though. Yeah, 30 years later, we're back, and it was, I think, a labor of love. We're like, what better thing to do than move back to the place where Brett was born and open the brewery and commute one block away. We're really inspired by this. I know everybody here who works here lives on the compound, right?
One of us.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yeah. Convenient and not convenient because if there's, sometimes you would like to just unplug from the business for a little bit. And when you're right there a block away or live on the farm, that's not completely possible.
Sure. You just go upstairs and just don't answer the door.
And you got to turn off all the lights and there's ways of people knowing where you're hiding.
Oh, they know
you're
home.
In there, Scott. You come down.
But yeah. That's cool. So what's the actual physical address of Bound by Fate?
We're at 31 Ferry Street, which is our tap room location, and then we brew out of our carriage house right there about a block away. But as Dieter was sharing with us, it's never dull when you run a brewery. There's always something happening. So it's nice to just be able to, be on call.
Now, I would imagine, you brew your own. It's a farm brewery, New York State Farm Brewery. So 6 months prior to COVID is when you opened the doors, but how much prior to that did you begin brewing the beer?
We started the process about a year earlier, doing some R&D and a whole lot of build out on our barn for the brewery.
But Brett's been a home brewer for 10 years. I think similar to, if you, many of you may know, our brother-in-law, Ryan Demler, the formidable Ryan. Boo, hiss.
What is this like? Is this like when we
award-winning brewer.
Rick Sicarion, Everybody Hates Frank.
Yes, that's exactly like that.
Kind of like that. Yeah. Well, it's only since he moved to Buffalo.
That's true. Oh, okay. He's a traitor.
Yeah.
We've been trying to coax him back. But yeah, I think inspired by that, Brett's been home brewing for about a decade. We've been talking about it as a family for about a decade, but it wasn't until we found the space and location that we were like, this is the time. Let's do it now. And we opened, it was 6 weeks actually, right before the pandemic. So January of 2020, Valentine's Day was our grand opening. And it was, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, as everyone knows who's been operating a business, especially a brewery in this last year, last 18 months, it's been challenging, but I think pushed everybody to just start thinking more creative. Keeping it positive as much as we can.
Yeah, everyone's been doing a great job of that. The collaborations haven't slowed down. If anything, they've actually picked up between breweries and cideries. Thanks to Alex getting that cider collaboration going in the world.
We got a new one coming up, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Awesome. Look forward to talking about that. Your location there in Schuylerville on Ferry Street, and I never pay attention to route numbers, but what is that, the intersection you're at?
It's where 29 meets 32.
Okay.
Right there at the corner.
Yeah. That building is beautiful. A lot of history in that building. You must have been thrilled to find out that it was going to be available for Bound by Fate.
Yeah, the founding of that building, we've heard rumors that it was a brothel back in the 1800s, so we're trying to bring the shenanigans back because it most recently was a cafe and optometrist office. So, converting it back to, the heyday of Schuylerville.
A cafe, I can understand, but an optometrist, I just don't see it.
But you guys, you guys are only serving beer, right?
Yeah, to start.
After hours.
There is a champagne room.
Is there an eye chart?
No longer. Mm. We have other sobriety tests.
No, all right.
And what's behind the name Bound by Fate?
It's it's a brothel. Struggled to find the words to express how this all felt destined between all our skill sets and this location and New York craft beer coming up and wanting to be part of it.
I think also just this, we've had, it's been a challenging time to say the least in this country for a while. And I think we wanted to create a space and a brewery and a culture around like being inclusive and also just reminding ourselves that beer comes from the earth and we're all connected to that and each other in a way that only I think craft beer can bring people together.
That's great. BoundByFateBrewing.com is the website, right? Simple. You've got all the social medias and everything. I drive by often. We've been there a few times. I love the spot. And I notice a lot of times there's like a yacht club that's just down Ferry Street from you there.
Yeah.
I see a steady stream of people coming from that yacht club. You guys have become very popular with the boating community,
yes,
it seems.
Yes, well, it's all part of that history because this Schuylerville used to be the port for back before sort of the rail stations and all that. People from the city would come up to the track and they'd boat up from Manhattan, dock there. Their carriage houses would be waiting for them in Schuylerville. They'd take that Route 29 over to the racetrack. So there was always this sort of intersection. We're right there on the Hudson. There was always this rich history. It's like not that started from the turning point of the American Revolution to from also the spirit of like the indigenous people and the rich abundance that was there in Fish Creek and the Hudson. So there's such a rich history that drew us there. And now, the boat basin is there, the yacht basin. So we get a lot of boaters coming from all over, especially because that's the way people have been traveling over the last 15 months or so.
That is a cool little piece of history and story there. That's awesome. So how long have you known? I imagine Scott would be the connection here to Indian Ladder Farms, right? Being that he's the brewer. Yeah, or
probably.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
They know Dieter too.
Okay. Yeah. Dieter.
Hi, buddy. I know. I know them.
I'm here.
Well, who knew who first?
I know them. I know the Demlers.
Okay.
Scott is also my brother from another mother, because
right.
I am from
see,
Laos.
That's what I'm trying to get at
and
here.
He
the brother
is
from
half
another
Thai,
mother.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so our Southeast Asian ancestry, like Scott, looks like what my children would look like as an adult.
Didn't I hear
handsome.
Something?
Handsome. Very, very handsome.
On the Sunday brunch, going back to your history, Pam, something war-related, I remember.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to tell from my accent. I don't want to take up too much max time, but I was actually not born in this country. So I was born in a refugee camp in Thailand, and our family left after the Vietnam War. And it honestly, through a bunch of mysterious paperwork, we were supposed to have gone to Australia, but landed in Berkeley, California, which I'm so thankful for.
Wow, that's all of course.
Yeah, my accent would be really different, and so would be the beer. Yeah, so our family came here, and we were immigrants, and my sister, who Scott was there when we did our Laotian mm-hmm. pop-up, is
so good.
She's very famous, I'm just riding her coattails, chef. So we're going to be opening like a Laotian menu and a Laotian restaurant in our brewery very soon.
Jeez, yeah. That sounds incredible.
As soon as we can get this freaking duck work done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, his curry and chilies are really spicy, it'll make everyone sneeze.
Amazing.
Well, we'll look forward to that, certainly. So you're out here at Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery today, working on this new collaboration between Bound by Fate and Indian Ladder Farms. The hop picking is underway right now, right?
We're waiting for stuff to come out of the dryer right now so that we can go again.
How's Heidi?
Heidi has been performing beautifully this year.
Heidi's the hop picker, mm-hmm. The beautiful hop picking machine here at Indian Ladder Farms. So if I recall correctly, this collaboration today is a wet hop?
That's correct. It is a wet hop beer. So this morning the boys and Claire, they went out and harvested a few vines and put them right into my little bin, and we brought it right up to the brewery, and 20 minutes later, it's going into the beer.
How common is a wet hop beer?
This time of the year is pretty, everyone does it out on the West Coast. It really hasn't caught on too much on the East Coast.
Yeah. On the West Coast, they do actual wet hop beer festivals, and there's a huge competition out there amongst the small breweries to see who can make the first wet hop beer.
Of the season.
Okay. Yeah. And it hasn't really caught on as much on the East Coast, which I don't know why, because we had a lot of small hop yards and stuff, and they were trying to go out and get breweries to do it, but it just never really caught for some reason.
And really, you can't put your finger on what that reason is?
It seems like it's the ultimate harvest beer, right? You know, mm-hmm. everybody got into pumpkin beers and, you know, Oktoberfest and like that, but wet hop beer is really, it's harvest.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing it in, you're putting it in the kettle, you know, so it should be a thing. So maybe we're going to make it happen.
And what is the differences that would jump out to everybody that enjoys beer between a dry hop or wet hop beer? As far as flavor goes.
I would say with wet hop beers, they're not as intense in flavor because they still have a lot of water content inside the hops. So when we use pellets and whatnot, they're already dried out. So it's just basically all compacted. These are just the cones as is right off the vine.
Yes, so you're not adding as much, unless you really, you know, dump a ton of it in there, as much lupulin. So that tends to be a milder type of pale ale or IPA than you would normally get if you're drying it. Because, you know, it's just like, think of dry thyme as opposed to fresh thyme when you use it. You always use a lot more fresh thyme in order to get that thyme flavor, whereas if you did that with a dry thyme, it would be so incredibly pungent, right?
You're always bringing in the analogies that I can understand.
Well, I try to help you, Jeff.
Yes,
you
know? I appreciate that.
And you're
that
within, you know, you're within striking range next to me here, so I try not to say anything bad.
I remember our last on-air session, you were being disturbed by a fly, and you were shaking your arms around trying to and now there is a fly right here. I'm afraid you're going to confuse the fly for me.
Well, you feel my pain now.
But also,
I do.
He was coming down off of 4 days of peyote, so.
Oh! Yeah, you should have mentioned that. I would have taken it a lot easier on you.
Don't eat the white part.
So, you know, you both got your start in home brewing, as just about every brewer would. I would think that wet hop beer would be huge with home brewers.
It should be. There's a lot of logistics involved, and you need to know people who grow the hops. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why we knew we had to roll down today and visit our friends here.
Was it what hop went in there?
We put Nugget.
Nugget.
This year's Nugget.
Yeah.
Alphas look really nice on it, even though we weren't really going for any of the alphas. But the beta acids are pretty incredible. And I want to see when we get it pelletized and see what the true oil content breakdown is on this. So I can imagine it's going to be pretty high.
It's very fruity this year.
Yeah.
It
smells fruity. Incredible.
How do you explain that?
They change every year. I mean, we've had a lot of rain this year. So as a farmer, what you're always trying to do is you're trying to grow the perfect looking plant, right? The most beautiful thing you can get out there. Not necessarily what you want if you want decent oil content with hops. You want to stress them. So we're playing a game all the time of how do we grow a plant that's successful and yields, but yet is a little bit stressed to get different flavor profiles.
Sounds like why Alex enjoys S&M so much. Yeah. Stress it out a little bit.
Well, I did not know about this.
He's been so quiet, I figured we'd involve him by opening up his...
I'm going to stay quiet.
We've got, at the end of the table here, we've got a basket of hops. What kind are those?
I think those are Cascade, because those are from...
I don't know what you brought down here.
They're from Vosburgh Orchards.
Oh, yeah, those are the Cascades.
So we are also a regional hop picking facility, so we pick other people's hops. So we picked Vosburgh Orchards hops on Saturday.
Saturday.
And so Vosburgh, there's Vosburgh Breweries opening, and they're going to be using their hops, so we were helping them out.
Awesome.
We pick Eric from Rockin' Hops, who has a small hop yard in Ballston Lake, and he sells to a lot of local breweries.
When you say small hop yard, give us an idea of how many acres you're talking about.
You're not even talking really acreage on that. He goes by number of plants. I think he's got like 1,000 vines over there, like so that. It's small.
Right on.
So it's probably, you know, it's roughly an acre.
But that's going to make a decent amount of beer, 1,000 hop vines.
Yeah, he does all right with selling. He's a very a go-getter on it, and he sells his stuff, and he's managed to put his one son through college, so you know, good for him.
All right, just off hop growing.
Yeah, he has another job. This is a part-time thing for him.
Gotcha.
Yes, this is a full-time gig for
okay.
him.
Yeah.
Paying college tuition on
yeah.
hops.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone and was probably, just about to stop listening and go plant some hops.
Well, and probably not paying. He probably doesn't cover the meal plan. I don't know.
Again, we've got Pam and Brett from Bound by Fate Brewing in Schuylerville, New York. We're here at Indian Ladder Farms with Alex, Scott, and Dieter, and Bart, our executive producer. Bart, will you pass down those hops? I always hear the gentleman talking about...
You need a floater?
Putting the floaters in. Yeah. So let me go ahead and grab one of those. These honestly look like... fake decorations.
They are.
They're so.
Oh, you got the fake ones.
They're plastic. Gotcha, bitch.
And you gotta tear it. Yeah, tear it in half. Tear it right down the strig. Of course, you know what the strig is, right, Jeff?
Yeah, the strig is the. It's right next to the pestle.
It was the. It was the guy on the. You know, the race car driver there.
Oh, Dick Trickle?
On Top Gear?
Yeah, on Top Gear.
Oh, gotcha. I was off that week. I missed that one.
Oh, it's not the Strig?
All right, so I think I've...
Alex has
I think
lost
I've
his voice after your comment.
Split it right down the middle.
Got a ball gag in there.
Now smell it.
My gosh, it smells incredible.
And I'll throw it right in the top of your beer.
We'll do
just
that.
Just let it float on top.
Okay.
What beer are you drinking?
I have the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
There wasn't Cascade in there, but there is now.
Okay.
Yes. So I believe.
And I think that's kind of cool, right? To mix up the hops.
Absolutely.
That's why everybody's enjoying all of these triple, quadruple hopped IPAs so much, right? The more the better.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now that, see, that's awesome because you get the odor of that Cascade hop
the
that
aroma,
I just dropped.
Yeah,
I got to learn that.
Jeff, we prefer you get the stink.
Yeah.
You get the stink.
I finally realized you should never say cheap, you should say inexpensive. There I finally go. Got that down.
Yeah.
It's not odor, it's aroma.
It's not odor, it's aroma. Aroma.
It's okay, I got it.
You
I
get
got
that foul odor.
Quite the aroma.
Get that stink in there.
All right, so that's awesome. I dig it. Let's get back to this wet hop. Do we have a name for it?
Vineyard Brawl.
Vineyard Brawl.
Vineyard Brawl.
Okay. Vine or
vine?
Vine.
Because, of course, you know, hops, they don't grow on a vine. They grow on a vine.
Vine. I should difference? Know these things.
Come on, Jeff.
I should
we've discussed this.
I should retain that information. So. It's a vine. All right. I like that name. How long does this process take now? It's faster than your normal dry hop situation, but...
No, it's still just like a normal beer. It's going to be a couple weeks before it's out.
Okay.
Fermentation. You got to let those little yeasties do their job. They need to make that sweet, beautiful nectar we know is alcohol.
And this will be available, I would imagine...
both tap rooms.
Both tap rooms. That's the way a collaboration works.
Yeah.
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 Duh.
Yeah. That's smart.
Now, we get our name up on two boards, not just one.
That's the way you want to go.
Yeah. You know, I'm not letting you off on this vine thing, by the way.
Vine. Vine is what hops grow on. Vine is what grapes and other things grow on.
And what's the little
thing?
He's
got Google open right now.
Okay, you got your Google open. So a grape has what that pulls it up to make it a vine?
It has what that pulls it up to make it a vine?
Think of those little spiral things that look like the curls.
Hold on, I'm getting a call. Remind everybody.
Yeah,
myself included.
So vines have tendrils, right?
So they have their
little curly guys that and they attach onto things, and that's how they pull themselves up. Whereas a vine winds itself around and pulls itself up with. They look like little anchors underneath a microscope.
Which is just so cool, and that's called training the hop at the beginning of the season.
Now, if you feel along the edge of this, feel right here.
Okay. It's rough.
Yeah, it's very rough.
It's like natural Velcro.
Yeah. It'll scrape you up.
So they look like, when under a micro or under a magnifying glass, they look like little anchors, and that's how they grip.
Isn't nature amazing? That's so stinking cool.
And dangerous. Don't forget that.
Yeah, well, I would imagine you're out there all day. How much of this happens by hand? How much of it happens by Heidi?
It used to all happen by hand, and then we said, the hell with that.
Yeah, so I would imagine.
Went and got Heidi.
He can't buy that many pizzas. A lot of pizza.
It's a lot of pizza.
A lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, people don't answer the phone after a while.
Because as we've discussed before, hop picking is not something that you can schedule ahead of time, not even a week ahead of time, to have enough hands on deck to do it, because when it's go time, it's go time.
Pretty much. At this point, I mean, back in those days, we weren't really doing analysis, but now we do pre-harvest analysis. We send everything out to a lab out in Minnesota, so Claire goes out and takes samples, and we send them to a place called AAR Lab in Minnesota. They're absolutely amazing. So we overnight them to them, and this time of year they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get us the information. So if we can get stuff out to them at 3 p.m. on their FedEx drop, they will literally, I will get an email at 3 a.m. stating what, our alpha, beta, and our dry matter. They're even giving us a HSI number.
That's your heat storage index.
Yeah. HSI.
HSI.
HSI, heat storing index.
Well, it tells you, it kind of tells you what the decline of your hops are going to be at a certain temperature. So, hops deteriorate like anything over time. So if you're kept at a certain temperature, we can tell if they're 2 years old, how much those numbers have declined. And then Scott can adjust his recipe to say, oh, well, now I need this much more in order to hit my recipe numbers, right?
That with it being as time sensitive as it is, that must be kind of nerve-wracking to have to overnight that to Minnesota and wait for the results. That testing must be very particular with the equipment or the technicians themselves that test it.
I have no idea how they do it, to be perfectly honest. I've never seen it done.
I mean, otherwise you would just have a gauge here at the farm or a testing machine here at the farm, right?
It's really expensive. The testing itself is not inexpensive. I mean, we spend literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars on having our hops tested pre-harvest. And then post-harvest, we have them tested again once they're pelletized. And we have the full analysis done at that point, and we even have the oils broken down so that we know exactly how much geraniol and linalool and
sodium. There is a local brewery that does have a machine like that. It's gas chromatographer. gas chromatographer. Why can't I say chromatograph? Why can't I say that?
Gas chromatography.
There you go. But anyways, they had one that they could do full oil breakdowns, but they just were too busy, so they wouldn't allow us to do that.
So they get it back. They get the information back to you, and if it says go time, it's go time.
They had a gas chromatograph. That's not just the only reason we might harvest. We might harvest because we might. It may say that we're still a week out, but the disease pressure may be so heavy, like it was this year, because of so much rain. That we just decide, well, we're a week out, but it's the difference of waiting a week and letting them all rot or bring them in now and get what we got.
When you look at a hop, you can see why it's so prone to that rot, because there's so much room for things to hide inside there. It's like it's like bacteria's best playground for a game of hide and go screw things up.
There's a lot of surface area.
Yeah. A lot of surface area.
Each year one of our hop varieties is like the star of the show. And then the next year, it just kind of has a decent year, but it's like each year one of the hops has like a really good year, and it's just like this beaming, beautiful aroma that comes off of it, and the oils are perfect, and like everything just looks good. Like last year was Columbus. I don't know. What do you think this year? Probably Brewer's Gold.
Probably Brewer's Gold.
Nugget. Yeah. Nugget is smelling really good, but it has a little bit of brownness, but. Each year we get like a star, and it's like it's always cool to see how it does and then how it changes throughout the years too.
Are there hop awards?
When you go out to the hop conferences, there are.
Yeah?
There's a hop queen.
Yeah.
There is.
I love it.
Yeah. I've had my picture taken with her.
With the hop queen?
Yeah, twice.
Look at you.
Didn't you win hop queen one year?
Hell no.
We don't talk about that.
But you got the sash, right?
Yeah.
He's got a couple.
All right, so we've got,
I hope to
we
get
got
the scepter.
Pam and Brent from Bound by Fate Brewing here at Indian Ladder Farms for this episode of Agricultural Acts. I think we're going to split this one into two episodes, probably wrap up this episode number one with a fun little game because we haven't played a game yet.
Really? Is it called Where's Evan?
No. But we can play that during episode two.
Where in the world?
Where in the world is Evan?
I take it Evan was supposed to be joining us today.
Well, you just never know. Right?
I thought he was in Buffalo.
That's the other brother.
Oh, that's the other one.
Why, you thought there was just two?
That's baloney, right?
The game I want to play today is Cran or Crap. So I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to tell me if it's an official crayon color or if it's just crap.
Oh, wait, a crayon?
Remember,
crayon.
A crayon.
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 C-R-A-Y-O-N.
He's
from Pennsylvania. Remember?
Crayon.
Some people call them crowns.
Crowns?
Who does that? Crowns. Who are these people?
All right, say it properly for us, Alex.
We're not going to have those on the podcast.
Crayon or crayap?
You crayon.
Crayon. Right.
Now, you don't know what list I'm looking at here. I could be looking at the crayon or the crap. No, that's payback for me calling out your S&M lifestyle.
Wait, so is this all of the pre-work that you did, Jeff? You were researching crayon games?
Yeah. I had a very interesting drive from Manchester to Vermont to Altamont, New York this afternoon. I was trying to make up this game, and then also, for some reason, everybody in their car is in a very dancey mood today. Everybody in my rearview mirror was just getting down.
Really?
Or yelling at someone on the phone. I'm not sure which one.
All right.
But that drive flew by.
who's this guy? He's texting. He's all over the road.
Uh-huh. All right, here we go. First, we'll go around the table and see what you all think, and then we'll award people with a box of crayons to the winner.
Is it the big box?
It's the 84 count.
Oh. Does it come with the sharpener?
Built in. Okay. Built in. All right, here we go. Just crayon, crayon or crap? Dieter, Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Was a bear.
That's his guess. He's going with bear. Alex?
Crap.
Crap?
Crap.
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 Pam? All around.
Crap.
We got four craps, one bear. Mm-hmm. It's a crayon. Fuzzy Wuzzy is a crayon.
Is it brown?
Yeah, it is. It's right there at the bottom. The bottom of the... Yeah, Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Okay, more importantly...
Yeah.
The sharpener.
Yeah.
You got to use it once, and then a crayon broke off in there, and then you couldn't. You had the paper clip in there. You're trying to get it out.
Horrible design.
You know? You melt it.
You just melting it is the way to go. I mean,
I'm sorry. The sharpener is plastic though, so
yeah.
They get a new sharpener.
No, you melt the crayon.
You sharpen it with your teeth.
The crayon?
Yeah.
And the Fuzzy Wuzzy and you have brown teeth.
Now, this leads me to a new question, then we're going to wrap up episode one. Dieter, you're always the guy to turn to when it comes to old wives' tales or just folklore or straight-up BS. You know the Woolies, the Woolly Bears, the
yes.
caterpillars or
yes.
whatever? So the saying is, the large, that's crap.
Crayon.
You can't. They are allegedly able to indicate what kind of winter we're going to have based on the color. If there's more of the brown section than the reddish, orange, whatever, it's going to be a cold, snowy winter. What's the truth behind this?
I don't know anything about any of that, Jeff, but I do know that a Jamaican friend of mine was terrified of them because he was pretty sure they crawled in your ear and ate your brain. So... Be careful.
That's a just thing to be afraid of. I get it.
There's no correlation whatsoever.
Okay. There you have it. That wraps up.
I mean, between the woolly bear eating your brain and...
And the color of the woolly bear?
I don't know. Is it a crayon color?
Color me confused.
I'm going crayon.
Crayon. Yeah. I'm going crayon.
All right. That's it for this episode with our guests, Pam and Brett from Bound by Fate Brewing. Look them out at boundbyfate.com. Check them out in Schuylerville. Episode 2 coming out in 2 weeks after this one.
Wait, I hear that music. We're fading out.
You've been listening to Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery owner-operator Dieter Gary, its head brewer Scott Veltman, and its head cider maker Alex Gill. The producers and engineers are Troy Pohl and Ian Carlton. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or suggestions can be directed to podcastilf@gmail.com. That's podcastilf@gmail.com. I'm Jeff Morad. Thanks for listening. See ya!